John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and find verse 32. And when you've found your place, will you stand with me as we read God's word together tonight? John 12, verse 32. Thankful for the songs. Thankful for the truth that Jesus saves.
Amen.
And Christ came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
And that's you and me and every other human being. We need a Savior. John 12, verse 32. You guys ready to read the word tonight? Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me."
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord, again, as we come before your throne of grace, we pray for your help, for your mercy and grace in our time of need. And we truly need you every moment of every hour of every day. Father, I pray anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that they would see Jesus lifted up on the cross to die for their sin, and that today they would trust in Christ alone as their Savior, turning away from their sin and unbelief, trusting with all their heart in Christ, the risen Savior, and calling on your name for salvation. And Father, I pray that you stir up the heart of every believer, that we would have a great passion for reaching the lost with the gospel. Please bless your word and help me, for I'm nothing without you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to speak to you for just a few moments tonight about the fact that when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself.
Amen.
Jesus talked about being lifted up in John chapter 3. You might remember when Nicodemus came to him at night. He spoke about it. He told Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And Jesus told him that there was a simile there. There was a picture there, a metaphor, a type, or a shadow, that when those fiery serpents came, you might remember that in the Old Testament, the fiery serpents came because the people were rebelling against God. They were sinning against God. So the serpents came, and if you got bit, you died. Thank you very much. Some of you in the room, you wouldn't even have to get bit by the snake. If you just saw it, you'd just die. Right? I'm looking at you, Dean. Some of us have a dreadful fear of snakes, but these fiery serpents were sent as a judgment of God, and if you got bit, you died. Finally, the people cried out to God and said, "Save us," and God told Moses, "Make a serpent out of brass, put it on a pole, and if you're bit, when you look to the serpent, you'll live."
Amen.
Now, that's a weird thing, isn't it?
Amen.
What a strange way God designed, and God's ways are different than our ways, and some of you might look at that and go, "Well, that's not the way I would do it." But guess what? You're not God. There's only one, and he has his ways. And that was his way. And the whole thing was to picture Christ, who would become sin for us. We see that in the serpent, right? He would become sin for us. He would be lifted up on the cross. And when you are dying in your sins, you can look to Jesus and live. What a beautiful picture. And Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Now, he had said earlier in John chapter 6 and verse 44, John 6, 44, he had said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." He goes on in verse 47, says, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And so Jesus had talked about these things already. He had taught the people about being lifted up, and he had taught the people about being drawn to him by the Father. In John 8, in verse 28, John 8, 28, Jesus said, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." I just want you to understand something tonight. Jesus Christ came to save sinners.
Amen.
And he did that by dying on the cross. So we see these two elements, the Son of man lifted up. And I believe that we can see a couple of things here. One, we of course see the crucifixion of Jesus. He said that this, he said that signifying back in our text, John 12 in verse 33, this he said signifying what death he should die. The lifting up would mean that Jesus wouldn't be stoned. It meant that he wouldn't be beheaded. It meant that he would be crucified. He would be lifted up. That's how he would die. So it's about his crucifixion. And here in these different passages, I got a lot that we're, this is drawing from John 12, John 3, John 6, John 8. But he says that he would die for the sins of the people. God gave his only begotten son. Jesus taught, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. In John 12, where our text is, he said back in verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And what Jesus was saying is that I have to die so that others can live. And if I die, then many can come to life. Amen. He would give his life a ransom for many. He prays, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Listen, he came to save sinners by dying for our sins. His death on the cross, his crucifixion was substitutionary. He became sin for us, though he knew no sin. He died in your place. Amen. So we need to be reminded of the fact that Jesus died for you. Amen. Jesus died for me. Jesus, in fact, died for the whole world. Amen. And we think about that, and it's hard to imagine that anybody would be willing to die for another person. A good man, a righteous man, will give his life for others. We see that, don't we? Amen. We see it in the soldier. We see it in the police officer. We see it in the firefighter. We see it in people who are willing to put their lives on the line to save others. Amen. But Jesus died to save sinners. He died for the ungodly.
Amen.
He died for the wicked. You ever thought about that? I mean, the one who drove the spike in his hand, the one who was holding the hammer, he died for that one.
Amen.
The one who spit in his face, the one who blindfolded him and hit him with the rod and said, prophesy who it was that smote you. The ones who wagged their heads, the Pharisees who mocked him while he was bleeding. He was bearing our shame. He died for that one too. He died for every one of us.
Amen.
And he did it for our salvation. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing that God would become one of us to die for all of us, to save all who believe. That's an amazing thing, but he doesn't. But he saves us forever.
Amen.
That's what hangs in the balance, is eternal life. That's what he offers. I believe that Jesus, when he says that he was lifted up, I'm persuaded that it's more than just the fact that he died on the cross. I believe this. I believe that it goes beyond the crucifixion of Jesus to the glorification of Jesus. And I'm persuaded that when you and I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it magnifies him. It glorifies him, it lifts him up, and it draws men to him.
Amen.
Believe that?
Amen.
If I be lifted up, he said, if the Son of Man is lifted up, I'll draw all men. And he certainly drew all men, and what he did wasn't in a corner. That's what Paul preached to King Agrippa. He said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. Everybody knew about it. It wasn't hidden. And so the crucifixion, the fact that he loved, and while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His great love drew people to him. Even the centurion that stood by said, truly, this was the Son of God. I mean, his love, his death drew people. But it wasn't just what happened back then, friends. It's what happens today when you and I open our mouths and tell other people about Jesus and his love for them and how he died for them. And we lift him up by preaching the gospel. It draws people to him. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It was the preaching of the cross that drew me to Christ. And I think if you would examine, go back in history in your mind, when you came to Christ, it would be the preaching of the cross that brought you to faith in Christ. Amen. Yeah, sure, some of you were scared of going to hell. And if you have any sense at all, you'd be scared of going to hell. But it's the preaching of the cross that brought you to Christ. That's why we preach Christ and Him crucified. When we lift Him up, He draws men. Matthew Henry said it like this. Because of the word that Jesus used to draw in, that word's only used about 8 times in the New Testament, and a couple of times it's used with fishing. You remember when Jesus told them to cast on the other side, and they cast the net, and it says they couldn't draw it in because there were so many? Remember that? That's the same word. The draw, the net, is the same word that's used for Christ drawing all people to Himself when He's lifted up. And as the fisherman draws the net, as the standard bearer draws an army, as Moses' serpent drew those bitten by the serpents, Christ draws men who see their guilt and hopeless condition and look up to see the sinless Savior dying for them. Those that put Christ to that ignominious death thought thereby to drive all men from Him, but the devil was outshot in his own bow. Out of the eater came forth the meat. That's good. That's good. If I kill him, if I shame him, if I mock him, if I revile him, if I ridicule him, then all people will go away from him. But exactly the opposite happens when Christ is lifted up for our sins. We don't run away from him, we run to him. The sinless Savior dying for our sins, his shame and his suffering for us, draws us to him to come, to find forgiveness, to find life. I believe that God draws those to him when Christ is lifted up, and he does it 3 ways today. Number 1, by his great love. The love of God draws us to Christ. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins." He sent Jesus into the world and showed his love, and it draws us to him that he died for us. Number 1, the love of God. Number 2, the Spirit of God. John 16, verses 7 through 11. John 16, 7 through 11. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," Jesus speaking, "it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world." That's what we call conviction, right? "He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." And God draws people, 1, through the love of God on the cross. 2, through the Spirit of God in his reproving. He shows us that we're sinners. And don't you remember, before you were saved, the conviction that would come through the preaching of the word? How you knew you were a sinner? And even now, as a believer, you still wrestle with sin. You still struggle with sin. You still struggle with putting off the old man. And the preaching of the word brings conviction. Amen. That's why some of you don't like my preaching sometimes. It can't possibly be me. It's got to be the word, right? Somebody say amen. Come on. Amen. No, we don't always like good preaching, do we? We don't even like to read our Bible sometimes because it's convicting. I mean, there's some passages you come to you'd like to just kind of skip over. Because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring conviction of sin. He reproves us, and we don't like that. But we need to come to the light so that our sins can be made manifest, so that we can bring them to God and be forgiven. He convicts through His Spirit. And 3, so it's the love of God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. I'm going to be honest with you. I know I've told you before, but I used to hate this verse for the very reason I'm talking about. This verse is convicting to me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Right. Paul could say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Amen. He said, I'm ready to spend, to be spent. I'll be willing to give up my own salvation for others to be saved. He said, I'm willing to do anything to bring the gospel to my brethren, to the world, to get to Rome, to go to wherever God's called me. I'm willing to give up everything because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But I think if you and I were honest, there's been times we've been ashamed of the gospel. And if we have, friends, the only reaction for us tonight, the only response for us tonight is to repent.
Amen.
How could I ever be ashamed of the gospel of my Savior? Paul said, don't be ashamed of Christ or of me as prisoner. I wonder sometimes what we're so afraid of. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the gospel of my Savior is nothing to be ashamed of. I'm here to tell you tonight that the Word of God is the power of God to salvation.
Amen.
I don't know why, but God has chosen the weak things of the world. That's us. He's chosen these base things. He's chosen these lower things. He's chosen these things that are weird to the world, the foolishness of preaching the cross to save those who believe. And here's how it works. When we are obedient in preaching the gospel, we go open our mouths and tell people about Jesus, warn them of sin and the judgment to come, and we reason with them of righteousness and temperance, and we talk to them of the gospel. We use the law to bring the conviction of sin because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So we go to them and we give them the law and we warn them of the judgment. We tell them of Christ who died to pay for their sin, and we give them the good news that Jesus died and rose again, that they could be forgiven and free and have eternal life. When we're obedient in that, the Word of God goes out and the Spirit of God works through the Word of God, and Christ is lifted up.
Amen.
And He draws people to Himself. Our part is to go and do the work.
Amen.
Open our mouths and tell people. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. We're going to end right here. Romans 10, 9 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But do you remember what he says? How can they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent?
Amen.
But brothers and sisters, we have been sent.
Amen.
And if we'll be obedient to go, then they can hear. And if they hear, then they can believe. And if they believe, they can call on His name and be saved.
Amen.
I told you before about Penn and Teller, the atheist magician, and He has a video on YouTube. It's from a long time ago when somebody gave him a Bible, but he talked about the fact he didn't believe, but he said, how much would you have to hate somebody not to tell them? Like, if you believe eternal life is possible, how much would you have to hate someone not to tell them? He said, if somebody's in the street and a semi is coming, you're going to warn them.
Amen.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I mean, let's just pretend for a second you're over here at the car wash out here at the highway, and somebody's standing in the street not paying attention and a semi's rolling through. What do you do? I mean, seriously, contemplate this for a second. Just go along with me. What would you do? You're standing in the parking lot. They're standing in the street. Semi's coming. Apparently doesn't see him. What would you do? Would you say, hey, look out. Hey, man, what are you doing? There's a truck coming. I mean, at some point, the truck's still coming. The guy's still standing there. Are you going to get louder? Hey, look out. There's a truck coming. At some point, do you not run into the street and tackle them? At some point, do you not drag them out of the way? Do you not do everything you could? How could you stand there and watch them get run over? Could you do that? But friends, hell is coming.
Amen.
Death is coming for every man and woman that we see.
Amen.
It's coming like a freight train.
Amen.
It's coming unstoppable by no one but Jesus. The only thing that can save them is by opening our mouths and telling them. Warn them that death is coming and tell them of Jesus who is mighty to save. We have to go and tell them. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, I pray that you would stir up our hearts. Give us a compassion for the lost. I pray your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts tonight and the hearts of everyone who hear this message who have never been born again. God, death is coming for them. They have no hope without Christ. They are yet in their sins, and I pray, dear God, even now that they would repent of their sin and unbelief, Lord, that they would just simply turn away from godlessness, turn away from unbelief, and that they would trust with all their heart in Christ who died for their sins and rose again, that even now, Lord, they would call on your name and be saved. And Father, for those who are saved, that you would give us a passion for the lost, that you would stir up our hearts yet again, that we would have the courage and the compassion to go to those who don't know you and share the gospel with them in love. Father, I pray that you do work in our hearts and in our community, that we would see men and women and boys and girls come to saving faith in Jesus and give their lives to you, live for you, and they would go out and do likewise to help other people know you. Lord, please move in our hearts tonight. Help us to respond in faith and obedience, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together if you would.